Well, let's open in our Bibles to John chapter 8.
John chapter 8. We're in verse 30, 31 and 32. Let's go ahead and look at those verses. John chapter 8, verse number 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Father, we thank you for this passage. Bless us as we consider a few simple thoughts this evening for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. That verse number 32 about the truth setting us free is a highly known phrase and yet so often used out of context. And so as we look at all three verses, we're putting it into context. And the context is that of discipleship. Did you know it was possible to be a believer without being a disciple? And I think that's the majority of the problem in Christianity today is we have a lot of believers, but we have very few disciples. And as we read there in verse number 30, as Jesus was teaching and preaching, many believed on him and believed that he was, in fact, the Messiah. And the very next thing he tells them is about discipleship. He says, I'm putting my own words in here, but here's what I believe he was saying. He's saying, it's fantastic that you've trusted me as your Savior and that you're on your way to heaven, that you're not trusting your works, but the finished work that I'll accomplish here in just a little while. He says, but don't stop there. That's just the starting point. I remember when we had Stephen, Anna, and Philip, and Abigail and Guy were yet future. And I remember Stephen was saved first, then Philip, and Anna was saved later. And I remember telling my pastor how happy I was that all my kids were now saved. And I remember his comment. He said, that is just the beginning. That's where it starts. And it's the same that holds true with everyone who trusts Christ. That's just the beginning. That's just the start. We're to be disciples and follow along. And so Jesus talks about discipleship here. And there's three points I'd like to make out of this passage about being a disciple, I think, that Jesus is mentioning here. The first thing is a disciple continues in his word. And of course, we read that there in verse number 31. And here the idea is that of steadfastness. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get discouraged in the things of the Lord. Because when you get saved, the devil isn't very happy about it. And so he sends all his people that are probably people that are friends with you or family, people you love and care about, who will do everything they can, unintentionally or unbeknown to them, but do everything they can to make you stop being a Christian. And that's just the way it is, because the devil wants to stop that. And we need to be steadfast. We need to continue in his word. Now, he uses that phrase, continue. Well, he says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. The word continue includes at least three ideas. The idea of place, of time, and of condition. Now, it sounds kind of complicated. It's really not very complicated at all. So let me explain. To continue in reference to place means that we're going to place a high priority on his word. That's what he says. If ye continue in my word. And so we've got to look to the right place. Now, it sounds overly simplistic and probably confusing because it is so simplistic, but let me tell you about a fellow by the name of Rod. I'm not going to give you his last name. There's some slim chance he might hear it some way, and I don't want to embarrass him. But he's not in this area. He's down in Ohio, but I tried to get some good, solid books to Rod. He had gotten saved, and man, he was excited. He really was. But I remember the comment he made to me one time And the second book I gave him, he said, I don't read anything but the Bible. Well, I'm glad he reads the Bible. We need to read other books, but our priority has to be the Word of God. And when we get to the point where other books become dominant in the priority and we leave off the Word of God, we're not continuing in His Word in reference to place. Our place or our attention's in the wrong place. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We'll start in verse number 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. What God is trying to tell us there is we need to look into the Word to see who we are and keep looking. Now, my wife taught in a Christian school. Guy and Abigail and Philip all graduated from the Christian school there in Bucyrus. One thing that bothered me to no end and still bothers me when I think about it is 95% of the boys in that school, if they saw a mirror, they'd stop and primp. It drove me crazy. What happened to being men? Now, we don't look ugly on purpose, but we're that way if we are. I mean, that's the way God created us, right? But boys don't primp. We have no reason to primp. It's effeminate. Let's just put it that way. It's effeminate for a boy to primp. And they all did it. But when it comes to the Word of God, we need to just take a look and continue to look. This is to be the focus of our attention if we're to continue in the Word. That's where we need to stay. Well, that leads right into the second aspect of continuing, and that's in reference to time. Priority has to be placed on this book. Priority has to be placed on it. And I still can't get over. I saw it years ago. By years, I mean maybe 10, 12 years ago. A book advertised in a catalog, a Christian book discounter's catalog, 60-second devotions. If all I can give God a day is 60 seconds, I'm not very devoted to Him, am I? And so what a contrary title to what they're trying to bill it as. And so if we come to the Word of God, it's going to take more than 60 seconds a day, isn't it? If we're going to continue in His Word, that just means we need to get there and stay there. That's what continue means. It has this primary reference to time, staying in the same place or in the same spot. And so we need to get in God's Word and stay in God's Word. That's why it tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. How does that start out? What's the first word? Study. Study. When you were in school and you had a test to study for and you made a study sheet, do you say, oh, okay, I got it, and walk away? What kind of grades would you get? Most people wouldn't get very good grades. Some people had to study all night long to get good grades. And that idea of reference to time is exactly what is talked about in that verse, study. Get in it, stay in it, study it, learn what those words mean and what those passages are referring to. Find good books that will help explain it to you. Ask your pastor. I don't know everything. I can make anything up, but that doesn't mean I know everything. But if I don't know anything from God's Word, I'm honest about that and say, I really don't know. Sometimes when my wife is studying for the Bible study, she'll ask me something that's, you know, I never thought of that before. I just don't know. But we need to try to find out answers, and we need to study to show ourselves approved. We need to give it time. And then to condition. The idea of if we're continuing, it will change our life. We'll conform to that word. Amos 3:3 says, except two be agreed, how can they walk together? You know, if we're living contrary to this word, we're not continuing in it. We've got to let it change our lives And we've got to let it have an effect on us. This is exactly what James said about being a doer of the word. It's good to look in the Word of God and to read the Word of God, but if that's all we do and we approach it like any other book or any newspaper or magazine that we might happen to chance across, and we just don't let it affect our lives, then we really haven't approved ourselves. We really haven't studied. We really haven't continued in His Word. When God exposes something in our lives through His Word and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, we need to sit up and pay attention and do what we can, aided by the grace of God, to overcome that failure in our life or to build habits that are lacking in our life. All of this is included in this continue in His Word. Now, a disciple learns in three ways. He says, if you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed. Disciple first learns just by hearing, because that's what a disciple is. It's someone who sits at the feet of another to learn from. And so we learn by hearing. We hear as we read the Word of God. We hear as we sit under the sound of preaching and teaching of God's Word. That's step number one, but only step number one. Step number two, we learn by practice, putting these things into practice. And that's what the track report is all about. We're reporting about how we put what we heard into practice. The fact that we're to preach the gospel to every creature and that we're to be ambassadors and witnesses for Him. We need to put these things into practice, but it goes beyond that. It goes to everything this book says. Now, does that mean we're going to get it all down perfectly? Well, the real answer to that is yes, but not down here. Down here, we're going to fail, and we're going to struggle, and we all have weaknesses. Mine are most likely different than yours, and yours most likely different than mine, and yours most likely different than the person sitting next to you. We're all individuals, and we all have strengths, and we all have weaknesses, but whatever it is, we practice as best we can by the grace of God to do what we find in His Word. And then as we practice, it starts with hearing, then we put it into practice, and then those things we put into practice become habits, so that the Christian life becomes habitual. It becomes a way of life. It becomes normal. The question I ponder sometimes is, why do we go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? You know, I've been doing it long enough where if I'm not in church, you know, the weirdest thing is when we have a fifth Sunday potluck and 6 o'clock rolls around and I'm at home, that just feels weird to me, because the habit I've developed is to be in church. It's habitual. Now, I come out of habit partially, but that's not why I'm here. I'm here to worship God, and I know that this pleases Him. But we should have those habits so that if we're not doing these things, it feels weird. You know what another weird thing is? I wore a shirt without a pocket, and I didn't have any tracks. That was weird. I always carry tracks. Once in a while, I forget to load my pocket up, but I always have a track with me, because people who don't carry tracks just don't ever give them out. People who do give out tracks are the ones who have them. Now, I may not be as faithful as I should be at passing them out, but if I have them, I have the opportunity. And so I hope you carry tracks too. But we need to have habits. I keep a stack of tracks with my phone and with my wallet and my keys, which I don't put in my pockets because I fidget too much in my pockets if I have something in them. But I keep it right there. When I empty my pockets, that way, out of habit, they go right back in. Develop habits. That's why it's so important to, why it's stressed so often. If you want to get in the habit of reading your Bible, read at the same time every day. Develop a habit. And so that's part of discipleship. And He says, if we'll do these things, continue in His Word, then shall ye be My disciples indeed, of a truth, not just in name. There's a lot of people out there that are Christian in name that really aren't, but there's a lot of Christians out there that just aren't disciples, though they may be offended at being told they're not a disciple. But Jesus says it's not automatic. Not everyone is. But those that truly are those that continue on My Word. Steadfastness, this idea of continuing. continuing in his word. A second thing we learn about discipleship from the Lord Jesus Christ in this passage is a disciple knows the truth. Disciple knows the truth. This is scholarship. Speaking of scholarship. Now, scholarship sounds kind of intimidating because that implies that you know it all. We never know all the Word of God because His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. We looked at that reference this morning. And so we need not turn back there, but we do what we can to learn as much as we can about God's Word. And so we know what is truth, and we can separate the truth from the fiction. When it comes to creationism, we can separate the truth from the fiction. We know God spoke the worlds into existence, speaking things that did not exist out of things that did not exist. There was nothing, and He spoke, and there it was. And so we understand that, and we can see, and we can recognize when the evolutionist finds a set of bones from a dinosaur, and they say they're millions of years old, it's easy for us to discern the truth there, isn't it? But it's a lot harder in some of the other areas because a lot of Christians are fooled. Lori was telling me about a friend of hers who went to a church this afternoon, I guess it was, but a lot of people are fooled by going to that church. The church was obviously all about money. Her friend went there just for some event they had that paid a pretty good price to get there, and then when they got there, they wanted offerings, and everywhere there were advertisements for offerings, the way it was explained to me. But a lot of people fall for that. I've told you about the church in Ohio where you had to divulge your yearly income so they could tell you how much you needed to tithe. People fall for that. How can they fall for that? To us, it's so obvious, as plain as the nose on her face, but, you know, not everyone has the knowledge of God's Word that we have to discern truth from error. And so a disciple knows the truth. That's what he says at the beginning of verse number 32, and ye shall know the truth. Now, I believe the truth is in reference to what's contained in this book, the Word of God, as it tells us about our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us of His love. And boy, that's an important thing to know about God, because there are times in our lives when we fall flat on our face into sin and we wonder, can God still love me after I've failed Him so miserably? But if we know the truth that God still loves us and that God will still accept us, and that God expects us to offer confession for that sin, and that He then will apply the blood. Boy, what a marvelous thing it is, and the confidence we can walk in before our Savior. That we don't have to worry about losing our salvation. We're kept by the power of God. Wonderful truths in the Word of God that a disciple will know. The compassion of God, how He is not willing that any should perish, and how that compassion should be in our heart as well as we see the lost about us and realize their eternal destiny unless someone intervened. God has done all He could. Now He's given us the message to deliver to them. His compassion, His long-suffering, that He puts up with us in all of our failures, and He puts up with us in all of our foolishness and ignorance, and He still wants to use us. He doesn't put us on the shelf unless we choose to go on that shelf. What about the justice of God? Do we know the truth about that? We like to focus on His love, His compassion, His long-suffering, His mercy. Certainly that's a quality that's more appealing to all of us because it gives us hope. But so often we overlook His justice, the fact that we will reap what we sow, and that He is a holy God, and that He will bring chastisement for our sin in our lives. We know the truth about God. We know the truth about the devil. There's a lot of confusion about the devil. I've known believers who believed that they were possessed by a demon. The Word of God tells us the truth about that. We don't have to worry about that. If the Holy Spirit dwells within us, a devil cannot in any way then dwell in us as well. There's only room for one. And the the Holy Spirit will not let a demon in. Now, that doesn't mean that a believer can't be oppressed by a demon, but not possessed. See, we need to know the reality of Satan, that he is a created being, and that as Flip Wilson, what was the character he was playing? Geraldine. Yeah, thank you, Geraldine. As Geraldine always said, the devil made me, well, the devil didn't make us do anything. He might have whispered and suggested in our ears, but we chose to do it and obey him. We need to learn the reality of the devil, that he is a created being, that he is fallible, he is not omniscient, he does not know what you're thinking. A lot of people think he does, but he has no clue what's going on in your mind. He can't be everywhere at once, and he certainly is not omnipotent. He's stronger than you and than I am, but he is limited in his power, and God is more powerful than he. We learn these truths, and they bring us great comfort and great confidence in the Lord. We learn the truth about the Bible. Boy, there's so much confusion about the Word of God today, isn't there? The devil is seen to that because our society and our culture is driven by the dollar, and every new translation makes its publisher money. And so that only encourages them to put out more and more versions of the Bible. Well, there's only one Bible. It's called the King James Version. The others are just lookalikes that are making money, yet perverting the Word of God. We know the truth about that, that God did promise to preserve His Word, that God did promise to keep it from this generation forever, and that this is the very Word of God, not merely containing the Word of God, but it is the very Word of God, inspired, preserved, inerrant, and infallible. A disciple knows these things. He knows the truth. And so a disciple continues in his word, that steadfastness. A disciple knows the truth, that scholarship. But thirdly, a disciple is set free. That's the phrase that is used so often. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, at the end of verse number 32. This is talking about sanctification. Sanctification. We find victory over temptation, where God gives us, as we learn the Word of God and as we apply the Word of God and make it habitual in our lives and have that walk with God, we become more successful at resisting the temptation in our life. We have victory over that. Things that used to cause me to sin don't cause me to sin anymore. And I praise God for that. That's called spiritual growth. If you're still sinning like you did the day you were saved, then there's a problem. You're still a spiritual babe. You're not a disciple. If you get into the Word of God, it'll set you free from those temptations. Now, by free, I don't mean absent from. Certainly the devil's going to try to trip you up, and he's going to try to learn that sin that does so easily beset you. And once he finds it, man, he'll just go at it with everything he's got. But he finds that there's some things he used to be able to get you with easily that he has to struggle with to get you with now. That's the way it should be. Victory over temptation. But also, we're set free by getting the victory over time. Or I could have used the word timidness. Timidness would be the next one. Free from time. Free from neglecting the necessary. That's just building those habits. When I wake up, and I've kind of alluded to this, on Sunday morning, I don't wonder if I'm going to go to church. My kids never wondered that either. They just, unless they were sick, if they got up and they were healthy, they knew where they were going on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It's just the way it was. We don't neglect the necessary. We don't neglect our word, our God's word. A Bible shouldn't last a lifetime. You get a good one, it'll last you a long time, but a Bible shouldn't last a lifetime. You should wear it out and should replace it with a new one when it's falling out, or pages are falling out when it's wearing out. We learn to do those things we need to do, and that's sanctification, because we're being set apart for God's use. We do that by being where we ought to be when the doors of the church are open. We do that by reading the Word of God. because we realize that we've been bought with a price and we're not our own. We do it with our finances because we realize they don't belong to us. God in his love and generosity allows us to keep 90% of everything we make. Now we make it, but it belongs to him because we belong to him. We're his bond servant, his slave. And so it is his. But he only asked for 10% back. Plus, he doesn't require, but asked for offerings on top. But victory over these things. Victory from neglecting the necessary. And then, thirdly, victory over our talents or being timid. In other words, we're free to serve God. I've known a lot of people that have been very hesitant to do anything for God because they didn't think they were able to. Well, discipleship, you gain that confidence. As you grow in the Lord through sanctification, you gain that confidence, not just the confidence, but the desire to do something for God. If you don't have any desire to do something from God, you're not continuing in his word and you're not a disciple indeed, because the disciple wants to serve his master. Now, it may be something big and it may be something small, but something nevertheless to do for God. That will be your desire because we've been set free, free to serve God. Did you know that a lost man cannot possibly serve God, can't possibly worship God? He just can't because God isn't his God. He may call on his name, on the name of Jesus, but if he's lost, he's speaking to someone he does not know and someone who does not know him. That's what the Lord said, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Now, obviously, being omniscient, God knows him and knows all about him better than he knows himself. But the fact is, he's not worshiping, he's not serving God. It's not possible. And so that's what Christian liberty in the book of Galatians is all about. Being set free from the bondage of sin and the law, being set free that we might serve and worship our Savior. That's what a disciple does. It's as natural as breathing. And so Jesus here, as these new believers trust on him as he's speaking this day in the temple, Jesus says to them, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." He says, this is just the starting point. Continue on from here, be a disciple, grow, learn, and serve. Father, we thank you for the privilege of getting to know you better day by day, the privilege of serving you in so many different ways. There's so many things we can do in your kingdom. Father, help us to be a disciple indeed. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.